and this is true. We love to do the things that we're not supposed to do. We don't mean robbing, stealing, or mugging. In fact, don't take it seriously, we're only bugging.
Hello, I'm Mark Webster, and I'll tell you what, next time I'll visit the Pope. And this is The Whistleblowers, the show that tells it like it is, but would never be that rude to Lee Bowyer's granny. That was uncalled for. This week, my guests come from down in the valleys and from halfway up a mountain. I'll start with down in the valleys. Johnny Owen, nice to see you, sir. How are you?
It's very nice to be here, Mark. Very nice indeed.
See, at least when I say down the valleys and then you speak, it becomes implicitly clear why I've said this to you.
That's because I'm from the South Wales valleys in Wales.
Now, you make that sound like there aren't any valleys there.
There's a few valleys.
Am I being foolish?
No, no, there's a few. There's the Merthyr Valley, which where I'm from, the Rhondda Valley.
I'm on the list. But can we safely say there's valleys?
Yes, there is. There's a few
Excellent.
Valleys.
Now, this is good. Now John Woolby is here because he's an all-embracing take on football, but there's something very specific and close to his heart that we need to talk about later on. But before we do that, I better explain why... record label supremo Wawa 45's Dom Savini and Arsenal fan has been described as some form of Edwin Hillary there, because I said halfway up a mountain. Because I've been
there
around
hills
this
in Crouch End.
House/studio.
Oh, I see.
He's in the most ridiculous geographical place that you can put a living
accommodation. This is all about your lack of fitness, Mark, isn't it?
It's all about your access of gradient.
You've never been up a hill before. I think you live in South London or something, your lack of walking up hills.
We're very flat where we are in East London. Flat as far as the eye can see. Where I live, and then it's like Canvey Island. And that's all I want in life, frankly. Let's be brutally honest.
Well, you know, if you're going to live in London proper, you have to pay the price.
And you do. He's got a lovely view of Alexander Palace, John.
Has he?
Oh, yeah.
As if one needs one.
I do.
I could get through life without it, but, you know, that's neither here nor there now. What's most important is we're in somewhere nice and flat, and I haven't got to crawl up to Haringey train station
I'm enjoying it very much in this sex basement. This is lovely.
It's the best place for us all to be.
It's so old. It's the proper London, as we know, in the rest of the country. Proper London.
Thank you very much. This is on the tour. If any of your people care to come and visit, they can do this for 10 and 6.
Yeah.
We'll chuck
whatever
in
a Shadowban,
chuck in Buckingham Palace as well.
Yeah,
just for a laugh. Now, lads, this is a strange and quirky week or month, actually, because I'd have thought this wouldn't be the subject matter, and yet I feel it is. Tell me if I'm wrong. The last couple of weeks, I've never heard so much bitching and moaning from so many grey-haired old men in such an intense period of time. It's like
you should stop leaving yourself.
I should stop shouting at people out the window. But it's just like Statler and Waldorf, but like, you know, multiply by four. What I'm talking about is our main topic will be is managers, but venerable managers. Even though Terry Venerable's obviously in. Oh, I didn't even know I was going to do that.
I thought you were saying venerable managers.
I will do. And let's just for Dom's benefit here.
Oh,
because,
come on, yeah.
Because clearly he's got to go and buy an oxygen tank so he can get home. let's start with his one. Arsene Wenger.
Mm.
Now, I want to go back to something that he was referring to very early on within the last couple of months, or the last month or so, in which he's basically kind of set himself up as saying that his team are now ready for the Champions League. Job done.
Are you confusing him with Harry Redknapp?
No. But Arsenal has decided, he seems to have set his feet, and this is it.
Right.
Which is why I think that he's a bit tense. He's a bit of a spring coiled spring.
I'm surprised you're saying it. So you're thinking that the fact that he's tense is because he thinks we have a chance to win the Champions League this season.
Or because he doesn't. I don't know.
You're talking about a team that was 20 minutes away from winning it a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
But that's still a good question, though.
You're talking about a team that's the only team in British football who's actually been in it 11 seasons in a row.
This is going to... If you're going to keep answering me facts, this is going to go on forever, isn't it, John? All right, then. Okay. But...
What I'm trying to say is I don't think it's such a massive deal for us. I don't think it's such a massive deal for Wenger. He's used to being in the Champions League. We've done it every season since I can almost remember.
Predicting winning it, though. I mean, I think effectively...
I don't think he actually said that, did he? Would you like to quote him?
He fundamentally said that he thought they were in good shape because he thought even though Real Madrid were throwing money at their team again this year, he didn't think they were necessarily going to be much of a challenge.
Well, I mean, we are in good shape. We've actually maybe clogged the holes that we failed to clog the last couple of seasons. And I feel that we've actually spent some money this summer. We don't like to spend too much money, as I'm sure you know.
Been known, yeah.
But I think we've got a very good chance. I don't really understand what your point is.
Okay, well, I'll defer now to your colleague for the evening. as Dom just said there, Arsene Wenger, ace hole clogger. I'm sure he'll say that on his gravestone as well, and he'll be proud of that as well. But the reason I'm mentioning it is because we now then move on to a little bit later on, in which he's now decided that he's going to try and set the season up by saying everybody's kicking the life out of my babies. Why don't they leave us alone? Now, was that wise on his part, do you think, John?
Not really, in the sense of, if you've got a stalk, we all know, you know what you're going to get. You do, I know you're laughing at it. And same, you know, if he goes to Blackburn, if you're Arsene Wenger, who's a fantastic manager, let's be honest, he's a genius, isn't he? As Steve Bruce said, and he didn't shake Steve Bruce's hand on Saturday, and Steve Bruce said, I still think he's a genius. He did, he wouldn't shake his hand, but Steve Bruce said, he's a genius, and he is, and I'm a Cardiff fan saying this. But if you're saying, you know, don't go near my kids, and, you know, I'm talking about, you know, a Welsh fan who's seen, you know, Aaron Ramsey lose his foot almost in Stoke, you set yourself up, because those teams like your Blackburn, they don't need a team talk. You know, if Arsenal arrive there on a Tuesday night in January, you go, right, get stuck into them.
I totally understand that, and if he had said don't go near my kids, I would be agreeing with you, but number one, he didn't say that. Number two,
paraphrased.
Yeah, you paraphrased, Mark.
I got the quote here.
Number two, I think, you know, what I don't understand is the big story at the moment is the fact that managers are complaining, not the fact actually what Wenger's talking about. And what Wenger's talking about is people not playing football. What Wenger's talking about is the fact that I don't believe anyone goes out to break someone's leg in football as much as anyone else does, where it's Shawcross, whoever it is. I don't believe they do that. The whole thing about Arsenal don't like it up them, and we can go and get in a little bit heavier and a little bit dirtier and a little bit in the knees with Arsenal. I've got a problem with that, absolutely.
Well,
because we play football.
I will give you now, if we quote him directly then. To have a committed game, you have to know the intentions of a player is right. And I also wrote down the fact that we make bad fouls as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes. You didn't wait for my dramatic pause then. You should have referred to actor Johnny Owen here. He'd have felt the moment.
It's really interesting what you're saying, because Harry Redknapp said, didn't he, Arsenal, when they were a great team, you know, previously, they're a great team now.
Successful.
Yeah, when they were winning trophies, they had tough guys. They had the Adams there, they had the Keons, and they had Vieira, who could stick it in there. Is it that, you know, are the right ingredients for a great football team to be able to mix it up and go?
Well, I think just the fact that you've maybe got what are viewed as softer players doesn't mean you can go in and break people's legs. It's not an argument as far as I'm concerned.
It's the bigger question. What I'm kind of more worried about, because this is the kind of the situation we're going to talk about, like with Ferguson and Hodgson and even Allardyce in a moment, is it a wise decision? I mean, I'm suddenly thinking, like, these old managers, this old dog's new tricks thing, there may be some sort of like the reverse truth in this. Do they really be opening their gobs now? You know, they're setting up situations to get themselves knocked down in. And we're 2 weeks into the season. Is there a logic to the way they're going about their business?
It is, because it's fantastic, because we're talking about it, and it sells papers, and it's what makes it the greatest team sport in the world. When Ferguson said yesterday, after they beat Liverpool 3-2, right, and what did he say the next day? And they said that Roy Hodgson literally rocked on his chair. He sat down in a press conference and they went, Fergie's just been in and he's good, it should have been a cricket score, right? How were Liverpool in the game, I don't know, and Torres is a diver, and Hodgson literally, they said, was rocked on his chair.
Well, he bought it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He bought what Ferguson was doing to him, which was mind games. What Ferguson
does. And Hodgson has not had to confront that before, because that's why he's considered
he's
a mate.
Fergie was saying, you're right.
I can't stand Alex Ferguson, but he's an incredible manager and the master of mind games.
Well, I like the fact. Master. This is what the other one I'm going to throw at you. We'll move on to Ferguson now, because I just think it's fantastic. Is that prior to that Liverpool game, in a weird way, he spared his old mate Roy Hodgson until post match, as you say, John.
Absolutely.
Because because he said in relation to his relationship with Rafa Benitez, I've never been personal. You should examine Benitez, not me. And he said the club's relationship changed under his regime. So basically, the way that he was setting up the entire Liverpool game was by just decrying everything that has gone on in the last X amount of years. Now, he's used this as a tactic often, but the weird thing is, he's not looked that on the ball, has he, in the last couple of weeks, has he? His team selections against Rangers, you know, the whole thing. It's all well and good when you back it up, isn't it?
But they always click into mid-September. Yeah. United.
I was about to say, dismiss him at your peril.
Honestly. It is. It's a mid-September thing.
Sick of it. What's really interesting is...
mid-September back in 63, I want to say that, John. For some reason, I went Frankie Valli.
Yeah, exactly. I
couldn't control myself. I apologise.
What is amazing about Ferguson is, with Liverpool, is the famous quote, we all know it, I want to knock them right off their effing perch, right?
Yeah.
And a Liverpool fan said to me once, a very famous Liverpool fan said to me, if I could do one thing in my life, I'd like to go back in a time machine and kill Alex Ferguson. And what he was saying was, he was the reason why Manchester United changed, because he wanted to make sure Liverpool were no longer the greatest team in England. And he made them a one-man team. I think Wenger's a genius, because he changed Arsenal. Have been a really boring side, let's be honest about it. You know, 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Boring, but vaguely successful.
But yeah, but it's true. But that tradition, what he said was, I'm going to change the philosophy of a whole football club and team. Ferguson said, this is what it... So for him, like you're saying, it's really interesting, Mark. He's saying, they built up me, us in Liverpool. It's a nonsense. A few years ago, he's saying, my job was to make sure Liverpool knocked off their in perch, right?
Yeah.
And he did it. And then poor Hodgson comes in. It's a bit like the Ali Fraser thing. He comes into the ring after, he knocks him out. Hodgson gets up and goes, oh, I gave you a good fight, didn't I? And Ferguson goes, no, I didn't. There's where we are now.
That's the problem. It's a bit more like Ali Pam Ayres. It didn't quite sort of, it didn't have the same resonance, did
it? The Liverpool came back to 2-0.
Well, can I just say, I think this is all reflective of, without getting too deep, of the society we live in now.
Hold on, Dom, you're not allowed to say, no, before I get to, and then that sentence, you're not allowed to say those two things in a row. No,
but what Wenger said, and what we're all saying to some extent, is that people are more concerned, the media is more concerned about what the managers are moaning about, the fact that managers are moaning, than actually what they're moaning about and what Wenger's talking about.
Well, I tell you what, that's a very good point, because now that's kind of exactly the crux of the matter here. But is that, Are they foolish to buy into it, therefore?
I don't think they buy into it. They're just talking. We live in a free society where they're entitled to give their opinion.
We generally live in a free society where there isn't 14 cameras and 27 microphones. So are they... Obviously, clearly they use it as a tactic. I mean, Sam Allardyce, obviously referring back to the Wenger situation, has said, well, you know, we know what he's doing. He's trying to manipulate the officials by saying this out loud. Now, are they doing themselves and their team a disservice by always making their tactics so overt in that sense? Can you actually make that a thing that works for your team all the time, or will it bite you on the arse? Which is what I'm thinking.
I agree.
Is going to occur.
I mean, Mourinho. I mean, we all seen Serie A last year, when he made Inter Milan the most hated team in Italy, but they won the triple there. And he was going, it's Italian football hates me and they hate Inter, and he won everything. Mm. Ferguson has done it, and he kind of builds a siege mentality where everybody hates United, but he says to the team, look, they all hate you. Go out there and play, because they're all here to see you. So what you do is you create a spirit amongst the team where they go, we're not going to lose this game. Like, you know, I mean, Keane was a classic example. Everybody hated him who didn't once win it. But he was brilliant, because he wanted to win every game.
But for you to say they all hate you, go out there and prove them wrong, do you need to do that across multimedia? Or can you not just do that in the dressing room with a laminated ball?
In a Millwall kind of way.
Yeah. We'll be talking about that later.
Do you think that Ferguson has refused to speak to the BBC, Mark, right? And he's refused and he's got enough FU money, right, as we call it, to say, I'll pay the fine every week if needs be. So the man at the board gone to him, please speak to them, Alex. We all know what they're saying in the paper.
Because otherwise, it's got to be Mike Phelan.
Yeah, exactly.
No one knows who he is.
Yeah, and nobody cares. And he's gone, I'm not going to pay that, because I'm a multimillionaire, so therefore I'll pay the fine every
week. I've got to say that.
And he will not speak to them.
And I don't blame him. I mean,
less time I have to look at his face. So
that helps, isn't it? Yes, the various different pinky colours of his face. I mean, but, you know, Mike, I've worked in American sports, and I've known full well a very, very successful American sportsman taking the fine, because they've gone, do you know what? I'm not going to stand here with my genitals hanging out, having a conversation with 75 microphones. I'll take the $20,000 fine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and you do it every day of the week. Now,
but Mark, going to say one more thing.
Probably not, Dom.
The journalists ask the questions. They ask the questions.
It's not
just down to the managers. The journalists ask the questions and they play the managers. Just as much as the managers have lots to say, the journalists play the managers. And that's the society we live in today.
I think it's fantastic. I'm a Welshman, like, with an obsessive rugby wheels.
Do you know what? It's so nice to have Nick Clegg here.
I know. No, he's right. And I was looking at the Evening Standard.
I've changed mine to red, actually. You're on the yellow one.
10 pages of the Evening Standard was football tonight.
Yeah.
10 pages. Yeah. Inside. Yeah. That's a lot of, you know.
Let's not be naive about it.
When England won the World Cup in 1966, they know this. It never made one front page of any newspaper in England. It's not a true story.
That's
not
right.
one page. Now,
isn't
when England got the World Cup,
that's incredible.
Yeah, that's what football's become. That's what we need. The
we
stories.
Are in a different world.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Now, and I'll tell you what. And this brings on to the next manager, who I feel is somewhat of a victim of this. Now, self-inflicted pain would be my guess, but you tell me, boys, is that Roy Hodgson at Liverpool? He came back at Fulham in complete. A complete anonymity, fantastic life, and then suddenly from nowhere drags him up halfway up the table and gets him into a European final.
Yeah.
And everyone loves him, and when he does speak, you know, he's clearly a bright and intelligent man.
Yeah.
Takes the Liverpool job, starts bitching. I mean, we fill newspapers, he says. We fill airtime. We are put under the microscope. It's a time of transition. Even if there's no change in the club itself, I think we'll have a decent season, but the next big step we'll have to put forward by the ownership issue. Now, he's setting his defensive stall out about 2.5 days after he's taken a job off of two men who he thinks shouldn't be in the club anymore. Now, for a man who's meant to be, like, you know, a PhD in football because he's been around the block, did he not mug himself off, to coin the vernacular? Has he got the wrong club? Has he done a wrong thing?
Well, I think the answer is yes, really.
Oh, right, okay. For a very long question, the short answer is yes.
I think he'll learn his lesson. You know, I think he's got a whole season. I think they'll give him a season as well, and he needs a season to learn all the tricks of the trade that he needs to learn. He's at a completely different level of football.
Yes. But isn't that weird? But we're talking about a man like
early 60s.
I mean,
but it is a different
surely
level.
He's done everything except he hasn't.
No, it's a different level.
I agree with Dominic. Liverpool are a massive club, and I mean, a worldwide club. I mean, the amount of people in Wales that support Liverpool, they, you know, they could fill a 60,000 seat stadium every year. It's a different ballgame. Like, exactly as you said, to go to Fulham, to go to Liverpool is a massive thing. Now, he's got all the politics of everything that's going on with the Americans there. He's got this massive worldwide fan base listening to everything he says. I think he's gone there and gone, God, this is much bigger job than I expected.
This is back to that point again. But he seems like a man of, like, you know, intellect and integrity, and he's chosen to stay out loud already, to plant the seeds of his own possible self-destruction already by saying, do you know what, we're not the ticket. He said we're a mid-table team and we might be all right in a couple of years, followed a week later by an announcement that they might sell the club and might get some money in a couple of years.
Do you know what? He's not the only person who decides what has to be said for the club, and I think there's people telling him what to say, weirdly, Mark.
Some form of Thunderbird puppet?
Yeah, you think?
Never!
Quite a big club.
But a massive club, that's the thing.
It's not up to him what he says. I'm sorry, but it isn't.
Which is why, walking out of Fulham, you'd like to think, happy. What?
I know.
It was the Sunny View retirement home.
It was.
For gentlemen managers.
That stand they got where, you know, anybody can buy a season ticket for £200 a year. Everybody goes there in London, it's great.
You buy a season setting?
Yeah.
You can actually just. There's a three.
And then to Liverpool, where it's like 40,000 scousers going, we won the title next year.
Yeah.
Different ballgame, mate. Different ballgame.
And again, this is a strange one because, of course, you thought, like, you know, you've been around the block, you know, just give yourself a quiet life.
Yeah.
And I think that he didn't think he was necessarily buying into such a damn squib, but like
I think he'll find his level though. He just needs a bit of time. Just you know.
I think just below Villa. That doesn't work. That don't work at Liverpool, does it?
No, that's the thing. They're a massive.
I mean, his level as a manager, not his level in terms of what.
I think a similar thing's happened with Avram Grant in West Ham this year. He's gone from Pompey, where he was, like, you know, he was fighting
the cat in the hat,
and then gone backwards.
Yeah,
you mean?
Nobody.
Lovely talk.
But he's gone to West Ham, and they're gone. Right. Well, you know, what can he do for us? You mean it's a different ball game to go in somebody.
Is he still
their
manager? What day is it?
We know we're done.
Yeah, don't look at the clock right now. One of you chaps, though, because it's small writing. I'm not good at that. I've picked out the ace response, and I will get the contact details for you all in a moment's time to get in touch with the whistleblowers. It will be written down in big writing for me, because we did pose the question on email a little bit earlier on there. Who is the moaning manager of the month? Now, I don't want to preempt this,
Okay. Do you want me to read this out from Stephen Rowe?
Yes, I thus have preempted. However, I would suggest that, given the fact that we're picking this as the email of the situation, we've mentioned him, but now we can now get the backup of the official nomination for Moaning Manager of the Month would be...
It would be, this is from a gentleman called Steve Rowe from Gander in Newfoundland, and he says...
So he's bothered from a long way away to be really annoyed about
it. He's got PS, loving the podcast, so fair play to you, Steve. Keep listening. And the Moaning Manager of the Month has to be, this is a good Newfoundland accent, Sam Allardyce.
Oh!
Over to you, Dom.
I'm down with that.
Now,
I've always thought if Barry White is the walrus of love, Sam Allardyce is absolutely the walrus of hate.
Let's do this because it's going to be on his gravestone, so we might as well just eulogise it now. The quotes: "It wouldn't be a problem for me to manage Inter Milan or Real Madrid because I would win the double or the league every time. Plus, give me Manchester United or Chelsea, I would do the same." Now, as we sit here speaking, just 20 minutes before Dom's going to watch Stephen Fry, we'll have it all.
Norwich fan.
Yeah.
That'll be a
Stephen Fry at the Royal Abbey Hall, Tom, is it?
Talking Norwich City.
See, this is the problem. See where football's gone, John?
I know.
Just in the old days, you know, you sit in a pub, brown beer, you know, talk about, like, you know,
kind of mild
mud and that, you know. And now we've got blokes sitting here who are going to the Royal Abbey Hall to see Stephen Fry.
It was an anniversary
present. They've got
presents.
An opinion on football.
An anniversary present.
Say hello to River Us, Dom.
All right, Stephen.
Now, Allardyce has tried, and I think he tried desperately. The backstep, it's like it's Travolta with broken legs. He's walking so poorly backwards.
Is this the second month of the podcast you've had a dancing reference with Allardyce?
That'll be every month.
Yeah.
It's the thing about it is for me with him is. And this is horrible prejudice, as I can't stand because of the way he chews his gum. Now, I know that's not exactly the best way to judge him. Slack jawed. He's got this slack jawed way of chewing his gum, which drives me mad. So I should probably just listen to his words more. But Sam Allardyce, like I guess every leader, has got an ego. Peyton, isn't he? He thinks he's good. But I know that he's joking there. He's not joking. He does think he can
I think John thinks he is.
Yeah. I thought it was tongue in cheek. I'm not trying to be devil's
subtext.
I'm not trying to be devil's advocate. A mate of mine is a Birmingham fan, was sat with him and he was doing that stuff, you know, where he talks into his little mic and that, and he said
that's even more annoying. I forgot that. That's even more annoying than the gum.
And he said that we were all having a laugh with him, and he said honestly for 90 minutes he was really good fun. He said he was laughing with the fans behind him. They were all saying the stuff he was saying about chewing gum and Sam blah blah, does your jacket fit, and you know, did he miss his dress, did he come out tonight, and he said he was laughing along with it all. He said when I left I thought to myself, what a nice guy. That's what they said about Sam Allardyce. I mean, I think Sam Allardyce is, you could go for a pint before Sam before you could with Arsene Wenger, couldn't you? You'd have to have a good bottle of, you know, Rioja or something.
Arsene's a very different man.
Exactly.
Nothing more than a nice pint of Rioja.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that's what you just said.
I'm just saying is, like, I think Sam is you know, he's what he is. He's Blackburn and he's Bolton. He's not Real Madrid, and I think he knows that.
He's Blackburn. What's his song, Chanel number 5? Is it New York, Paris, Rome?
No, he's worth it.
Yeah,
it's because he's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
The next Youp model. Yeah, that's what I want to see, Sam. Now, lads, now that we've said about the managers, there is important business.
Well, that seems
going
forever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he hits Sam Allardyce because they tackle Arsenal. It's terrible.
No, I'd love it if they tackled Arsenal.
What do they do then?
Well, it's a foul. It's different to a tackle. It's breaking someone's leg, kicking him in the knees, kicking him in the face, quite different to a tackle.
I just think
this is the difference we need to establish in this country. But anyway, carry on.
This is Arsenal, mate. This is the team. This is Arsenal.
That sounds like an orangey red card to me, to quote Arsene Wenger. I don't know. I'm no Bob Crow. I think we can safely say that.
I like Bob Crow, but go on.
I'm a big fan of Bob Crow.
I am as well.
Bob Crow, the London Underground.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm no Bob Crow.
He's Millwall, I know, and it's good you say that. West Ham boy, so you like Millwall.
I'm no Bob Crow. But I'm not totally sure that the Serie A lads and their weekend strike. Now, listen, we should better put this in context. Right, now, what's going to happen is apparently they're going to... Well, the one thing they couldn't do is going to go slow. I mean, if you've seen Italian football, that's what they do anyway.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
So all that was available is a strike.
Yeah.
Now, they're going on strike because they're bitching and moaning about the fact that they've got 1 year left on their contract and that the clubs are daring to have a conversation based on the fact that they might be going somewhere else. And also, the other reason they may go on strike and stand around some Gianni Versace brazier, no doubt somewhere.
Slightly racist.
No, actually, he's Italian, isn't he? Oh, good. It's perfectly racist.
And so am I.
Perfectly racist. Now, I'm going to defer you in a minute, Dom. I assume you've been reading all that stuff in Italian and back us all up with it. It's the fact that they... which is almost to their advantage, I guess, in argument, is the fact they're saying that they're now having like problems about saying we're going to relate your wages, reduce your wages, and then make it a bonus related thing. Now the whole thing about this is, guess what, the fact isn't it a contract, you know, for want of a better word, as in something that's been signed.
Well, they're not all signed on already.
Yeah, and yeah, like if you're leaving in a year, you're leaving in a year, and but also if you sign a contract that says you're on 60 grand a week, you're on 60 grand a week, aren't you? I mean, what are they doing in this? We will turn to Dom now. Crouchend's official Italian correspondent. Mm.
Not a massive fan of Italian football, I have to say.
What's Italian for a mountain?
For a mountain? Monte?
Alps, isn't it?
Montre.
Monte?
Halfway up a Monte. Dom Savini.
Let's be honest about what this is, right? What's happening in English football is this, right? Sol Campbell, for argument's sake, went to Portsmouth because there was no fee involved, so all the fee went on his wages, and that was what, you know, Harry Redknapp did. So the Italian players are going, we're not going to be in a position where, you know, we can't negotiate the fact that we can go to this club and it can all come in wages rather than the clubs.
But can't both... if the contract's coming out, can't both parties start that process?
They won't, though, because the clubs want a fee rather than they all going to the player, and the players want all for themselves. So that's where the fans, Italian fans, quite ready to go in. We've got no sympathy with either side because this both sides being greedy. The players are going, oh, this is wrong because we can all get some wages, and the clubs are going, well, can't we just at least get 5-10 million euros for this player?
That doesn't sound like football to me, John, where lots of people are being greedy from every different direction. Are you totally sure? Did you get Dom to translate what you were reading? I suspect you may be wrong because you know you only work in consonants, so like it could well be, and every word he ever says ends in a vowel, so between the two of you,
it's amazing we go on so well, isn't it?
No, but it's true.
Semaphore.
It's basically
we fill each other's holes.
It's greed on that note.
Yeah. Welcome back to the basement.
Verbally, obviously.
But it's interesting. Is there a Bosman moment here? I think the Italians giving us a chance here to find a new name for an anonymous Belgian who kind of gave us an entire trade. I mean, does it make sense?
I think like you're both right. Contracts mean nothing, and we all seen that with Mascherano this year. Contracts mean nothing in football, especially with players. They're just not interested anymore. It's gone a long way from Jimmy Hill in '65 going like, you know, minimum wage and that, and it's got to the complete other end of the spectrum.
Via Ashley Cole.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you know,
Ashley Cole.
You're absolutely right what you're saying. So there's no honour on either side. So it is like I said, it's a case of the devil and the deep blue sea. The clubs are as bad as the players. You know, what do we say as fans here when we're paying 60-70 quid to go and watch a game in places like Chelsea, and you know, paying £10 for a programme. What do we say? There's no sympathy for us, and the Italian fans quite rightly are saying we don't care about this. I mean, it's not.
Well, that's the weird thing. This apathy on both sides, isn't there?
Yeah.
The footballers have gone.
No surprise with Italians with apathy, mate. Honestly, seriously.
Really, is that your nature?
Do you remember World War II?
I just want to go back.
The ultras.
Absolutely no surprise at all.
I was going to stereotype you before you stereotyped yourself. How dare you, sir?
But the thing is, Mark, I know you remember World War II. First hand.
Oh, dear. He's... Yeah, exactly right. Survived that one there. Was you on the train that ran on time? I don't know.
Only as a spark of my grandfather's eye.
Yeah, the thought of you, Dom, was enough, wasn't it, really? We get that train up your hill. And that is the euphemism either. But God bless them for actually taking some form of, and I believe, operatic melodrama to the occasion. See, because if you actually, are we talking about a bunch of footballers going on strike and a bunch of fans who don't care?
I think that's what's happened. It has. That's what's happened. Italy.
Really, no surprise in Italy. Honestly, I'm not just trying to be funny. Really, no surprise.
That's what's happened.
Absolutely.
The fans just don't care. We've all seen on Facebook and the internet this week the stuff. Stephen Ireland did a thing, didn't he, in Ireland for his house.
Well, about the fact his head's up the wrong way.
Well, yeah,
because
but
his hair's,
but did you
his
see his house?
On the bottom half of his head.
Did you see his house?
Oh no! Yeah, well, that's right. Another sectarian one.
Honestly,
yeah,
it's astonishing. It is astonishing. I mean, he's a reasonably good player. He won't play for Ireland. He's gone from, and his house was actually it was to the man of bone. one. It was ridiculous. You know what I mean? And you're thinking, and yet he was parked outside in this giant Range Rover with pink wheels. And you're a bit like, we've got to the point where footballers are
driving Range Rovers with pink wheels.
Pink wheels.
Have no taste.
Yeah. You know, kids from council estates like us, who've got so much wealth and money that when they get to the point where they're 28, 29, it's a different world to us. You know what I mean? And the Italians have gone. Do we really care now about the clubs who were so corrupt? A lot of them. Juventus went down 2-3 seasons.
Yeah. Forget, I mean, the Italians are living with a government that is the most corrupt government in Europe.
Absolutely.
I mean, without a doubt.
So I suppose debating the back end of a contract
is the least
exciting thing that's ever happened to an Italian.
When you have to deal with Berlusconi day in, day out, it really is.
You got his album, Dom.
No, I love him. I've only got the remixes.
Now, we should do. I mean, John Dabbles, but Dom, you're from the music industry.
I've got Cicciolina's album. She was good, but she's a bit more 80s.
Obviously, more that way.
Yeah.
I like to think that from this point forward we'll call it pink wheel syndrome.
Yeah,
and then we'll all just move on, you know, because we're better people than that, aren't we? Now, in saying that, let's take the contrast of the operatic drama that is occurring in Italy to the old school face up that might be occurring this weekend. Now, Dom, you won't know about this story because it doesn't involve the rarefied atmosphere of the top four of the Premier League. John here happens to be a Cardiff City fan.
Yeah.
There's a game coming up which he's probably relatively excited about, and yet puts the fear of Christ in me and many other people. Cardiff Millwall.
Oh, Millwall, yes.
Yeah.
Top of the table clash.
What's really interesting is they've let Millwall travel under their own steam. So there's no bubble.
They do travel on steam as well, by the way, because it's been so long.
Out of London Bridge.
I better stop with that. No, but
what's interesting is they've said the Millwall fans, look, there's obviously been a history in this game. We all know, you know.
Get out.
I know, yeah. And you can come under your own steam, and you know, with no police escort, and we're going to trust the fans to.
That's good.
You know,
that's what Mark's wife says to him as well.
So it'll be quite interesting to see what happens. I think Kenny Jack has done a great job in Millwall. I like Kenny Jack, actually, ex Welsh international. Played for Watford, took Swansea up, went to Millwall, took Millwall up. Good manager, got them organised. They got hammering on the weekend for Watford. Cardiff lost the last two games. It'll be a great game. But
he's quite geeky, isn't he?
I know. Well, I think
he's backing up what it feels like carnage with some football information.
I know. I was there in 1999. I passed Ian McSorley today, actually, the editor of one of the magazines was there.
He's still doing it.
As a Millwall fan, I went, all right, Ian. And I said, are you going this weekend? And he went, no, mate, I went in 1999. So, you know, it's like they all remember what it was like, do you know what I mean? So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean,
you know, but dare we fear the worst in that game in terms of, like, you know, old hooligans dragging themselves on their deathbeds to decide to go for one more final, you know, blood. Because the Cardiff.
Fingers crossed, eh?
That's right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll make some great sepia pictures.
Well, yeah, no problem for me at all.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you tell me, boys. I mean, West Ham, Millwall last year, upper seven kickoff. You know,
that weren't pretty.
I know. So, I mean, it's Cardiff Millwall. I don't know. I mean, I think Cardiff are trying to move on, the club and the fans and all the rest of it. Millwall are certainly trying. We're all trying to move on. I don't know.
Millwall trying to move on? Are they?
I've been down there a few times.
You can't necessarily. The weird thing is, you talk about clubs and you talk about fans.
Yeah.
And that I don't think anyone should ever be allowed to do that, because basically, fans still buy into it. You know, fans aren't getting paid to buy into the party politics of it all. You know, you pay your money, you take your choice, don't you?
Yeah, Millwall. Irvin Welsh said a great thing to me once. He said to me, "What a Cardiff without their mob? They were Swindon. What a Millwall without their mob? They were Leighton Orient. Nobody cares. Whereas Millwall were Millwall. It was an horrible place to go. It was the den, blah, blah, blah. Now there's still a place where you.
But not just
when you go there. Part of our social history, being British, young working class males, it's a great atmosphere. Regardless of whether you say it or not, it's a great atmosphere in the den.
Absolutely.
You know, and West Ham, when they played Millwall last year, all my mates were West Ham fans, it was the best atmosphere.
I totally agree, John. I mean, my club has lost its atmosphere. My club has lost its atmosphere in the new stadium.
Should have stayed in Woolwich, son, where you belonged.
Huh?
Oh, blimey, I went back
50
years.
Cardiff played Arsenal in the FA Cup 2 years ago. Do you remember the game when you drew nil?
They brought back and we might have
been. There was no thing on tickets, and they all came down, and it was an amazing atmosphere because Arsenal's fans came down rather than the Premiership.
No, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot to be said about people, the old working class lads who go and watch games still being allowed to come watch.
But the problem is with it is it's like it's a spectacle. It's like a Band-Aid. Oh, that's the most appalling comparison ever. Oh dear, can you imagine? What I mean is that the one-off nature of this. Yeah. Are you going to get that horrible kind of like away day sensation of the wrong uns turning up to make an issue out of it?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, if you take that out of football, the rivalry and the intensity between, say, Arsenal and Spurs, what are you left with? Do you know what I mean? You're left with people, stewards going, you can't stand up when Arsenal attack when they play in Spurs. That's the worst end, isn't it? The other end of the spectrum, as you're saying, is nutters, you know, watching a team. We don't want that. But there's got to be a midpoint where you say there's still got to be an atmosphere. So when West Ham play Millwall or Cardiff play Swansea or Arsenal play Spurs, there's still got to be singing.
Well,
and
you always had the teams that are close to you or similar
to you. Absolutely.
So when you were talking about mods and all that kind of stuff earlier,
yeah,
in the pub,
absolutely.
And
I should just add at this stage that John is the mod for this evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
John is the mod for this evening.
Or rather than Eddie Pillar.
We need a good mod. We always
I remember you saying earlier that it was quite strange because you're all quite similar, but that's not strange at all. That's why we have this conference.
I got a great mate who's Adam, who's a massive Chelsea fan, and in the World Cup this year, he laughed. He said to me, and I was sitting with Adam, and he said to me, "How come we don't support England in the World Cup?" And I went, "Well, because I'm Welsh." And he went, "Yeah, but we live next door to you." And I went, "So do you support Spurs when Chelsea go out with the FA Cup?" And he went, "No, that's a really good point."
I live in England.
That's rivalry. I mean, you would never support Millwall, would you, if they were in the FA Cup and West Ham were there? It's almost patronising to ask me, would I support England? I'm Welsh. I'm not English. I'm Welsh.
Hold on. You're Welsh.
Yeah, exactly. Do you mean?
That was my line, Mark.
What? Well, do you know what? And on that finishing bombshell. Do you know what? We've been here about 35 minutes and finally we got to the point we're trying to make.
I think I've missed my gig.
Nah. Stephen Fry away for you. Stephen Fry.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah. Stephen Fry away for Dom. Stephen Fry will wait for you.
Absolutely.
Dom, you can come back in a couple of weeks' time. Tell us how Stephen Fry was.
Very middle class, I'd imagine.
And John, if you're not dead after these.
If Millwall haven't come around my flat in West London.
Listen, everybody, if you want to get in touch with us, thewhistleblowers.net is a good way to do it, because you can Twitter us and indeed you can email us in, especially if you're from Newfoundland. Is it Newfoundland? Or do you say Newfoundland?
Yeah.
Well, you actually say all of the syllables.
Yeah,
we're Scots, so anyway, Newfoundland.
Newfoundland?
Yeah.
Well, I know the answer to the question, isn't it? You know, because the land was found relatively newly.
Newly, yeah.
By Anthony Newley.
Was it? He was in EastEnders, wasn't he?
Founder was discovered by Anthony Newley.
Brilliant, the worst joke of the whole podcast.
No, we should leave people with that absolute fact, which would now go on Wikipedia.
Google it.
Yeah, it's true.
He's Greek.
John, Don, thank you very much indeed. That was The Whistleblowers.
Thank you.
God bless you.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at thewhistleblowers.net. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on this podcast, please call our marketing partners Sports Revolution on 0207 580 2850 or drop them a line at info@sportsrevolution.co.uk.